Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, it's a Sideshed Podcast with me, Peter Fickling, Kerry Warbis and Matthew Weir. Well guys, I'm back and I've cracked the code. You might remember that several people have written in reviews where they just listen to the podcast and don't bother listening to the Archers. That's exactly the experience I had while I was away with my lovely sister visiting, and I can highly recommend it. So if people want to get rid of that sack of shite BBC thing and just listen to this, then yeah, knock yourself out. I had a great time. Top work, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, did you? That's nice.
It did make you wonder why we'd said that you were in Christmas pajamas with 15 cats. You missed that reference.
But to be honest, it's kind of on brand because we're so thoughtless about each other's feelings. I was just like, oh, whatever, you know, fair enough.
It was a guy in Hazelhurst that Will delivered Bridge Farm produce to on his rounds.
Well, if it had been this week, you would have said, I bet Peter's at home covered in afterbirth, you know, cleaning himself in the sink. So
barely any clothes on, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of this week, Peter, coming back to the Archers?
Nicely done, Kerry. Nicely done. So let's be positive. After being so negative, let's be positive. I thought Kirsty rescued her reputation. I really liked Ardil being the kind of like voice of reason. As you know, I've got a bit of a soft spot for him, so I was quite pleased about. Mm. And I also... I did enjoy getting very angry with Lee and Helen, and also how irrational it was. me being angry, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. The Kirsty thing's interesting because she was kind of forced to do that, really, wasn't she?
Mm. So, what should we force an advert in here? Do you see what I did?
Yeah.
And then we can. I think you're going to give Kirsty a right old shooing, aren't you, Kerry?
Yeah, a little bit of one.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Come on in, Kerry. Get your hobnail boots on.
Well, for one thing, it didn't help that I was listening to her at 1.5 times speed today to try to catch up quickly whilst I was in between working. And her and Lillian at 1.5 times speed are really, really hardcore to listen to. They're so quick because they both speak quickly normally.
I would imagine Kirsty at 1.5 sounds like Janis Joplin.
She was mean, really, wasn't she? She was very annoyed about this, about Brian bothering them. He came round with a frozen shepherd's pie. He brought posh wine. He's just lost his wife. As well, let's not forget. I can understand it, you know, neighbours bothering you when they haven't had a dead relative recently or a dead spouse. That's annoying. But come on, it's Brian and he's in a state, isn't he?
You sometimes have to forgive the fact that the writers have to kind of do it on air. So what might have just been a raised eyebrow or a little kind of sigh has to kind of be spoken out loud. But I don't think I'd be that... mean. Just trying to think of a better word then. I just don't think I'd be that mean.
But let's be honest here as well. Kerry is never going to kick Brian out of the house if he's coming round, particularly if he's coming round with shepherd's pie and wine and then falling asleep in front of the sofa or talking at length. This is like Kerry dreams of these moments.
I do. I thought, God, what an amazing description of him where he... when he's got loads of wine in him, he just picks a topic from the news and sort of rants as if he knows everything there is to know. But I was like, oh God, I'd just be in raptures sitting there listening.
Matthew, yeah. We should see if we can make like use AI to make like a Kerry a porn mag. It's all of her big burly men in various sort of like very specific scenarios.
I did wonder this week what would happen if we just fed our ideas of the archers and what we were going to say about it into one of these AIs and see what it brought back out. When I lived in Dublin, there was an old widower guy that lived in the bungalow opposite me. Mm. And he would always appear leaving his house as I was leaving with the dog. And he would come over and pet the dog and chat. He was always like dressed in a little suit and stuff. And it struck me one day that he was just looking out the window and waiting for me to leave so he could come out and have some interaction. And then he'd kind of walk down the road and then he'd do a loop back. I think I did have him over for dinner once, actually. It wasn't at Christmas. I tried to get him over at Christmas and he actually went to his daughter somewhere else in the country. But yeah, there is that. Like you wouldn't behave like what actually Peter said at the beginning of this, that he had an archerless week, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And in criticizing another storyline that we'll come to, the Lee and Helen one, I said in our chat earlier today, oh, they just completely forgot a storyline off mic like it never happened. It was like I'd missed an episode. Mm. Well, I found out tonight I had missed an episode.
Oh, had you?
The entire episode where Brian came over and fell asleep and Roy started to get annoyed with Kirsty or vice versa.
I loved it when Brian was waking up from his slumber and it was the TV or radio was on and you could hear it go, the UK's streams and rivers are teeming with wildlife. Yeah. And I thought he must have thought he was having some sort of toxic barrel nightmare.
Yeah, he thought he was back in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Not in talking in his sleep, not round here, they're not, bub.
Yeah. I've killed all that.
Not if I can help it.
Oh, he was sweet. They got it in the end. I suppose Kirsty and Roy, she was trying to do decorating. They've got busy lives. I get that you just want to switch off when you're at home. You don't want any company, do you? I do understand it a bit.
I did like the irony that Roy moaning to Ardil was 1,000 times more tedious than Brian could ever be. And you could hear the irritation in Ardil's voice. And he's like, well, you know, I know it was massively racist to you in the Paris Ardle, and also, you know, and it's just like, oh, you know, like, shut up. Can't you tell the man's bored shitless? He's given you the good advice. Just listen and move on.
He was great, wasn't he, Ardle? Where he just said, like, you're complaining about Brian doing the things that you were telling him to do.
Mm.
And, you know, called them both out as being hypocrites. I loved him just saying, didn't pussyfoot around, did he? He just said, you're being dicks, really. It sounds quite nice. He came round with dinner and wine.
Yeah.
Adil said, you know, what would Brian think if he could hear what you're saying about him now?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Roy was going, I'm an awful person. I'm a horrible person. Sorry, sorry, sorry. And then it bollocked him for saying sorry too many times.
What's the relationship between Adil and Roy? Because Roy was very subservient to him for a while. And Adil was a little bit like, maybe it's your turn to clean every toilet and portaloo today, Roy, just because he had to come crawling back. Because Roy stood on principle for a while, didn't he? Until he realised he wasn't going to have any money. And then he came crawling back.
Yeah.
I think Adil's, you know, I don't think he gets a massive boner for being the boss, but I think he's quite comfortable just issuing instructions. Like he doesn't strike me as someone who kind of like gets his rocks off on being the boss, but I think also he's not too worried about hurting Roy's feelings, I don't think.
He did mention this week that the money isn't his concern, didn't he? The cost of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like he is just someone who's floating there as a rep, because a lot of people have suspected that he is the buyer, but he said in relation to, was it Andrea, the architect?
Yeah.
He said, like, the cost of it isn't my issue.
Who'd have ever thought of women architects? I mean, that's ridiculous. isn't it, Matthew?
No comment. They build the best buildings, actually. That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what your missus tells you.
Yeah, and they also make extensive plans for your new apartment, which means you can just sit back and let them get on with it.
Oh, that's good. Who do you think Ardil has lost in his life? You mentioned he lost someone close, and
it has to be a partner, doesn't it?
Yeah,
because he's shown up. He's quite eligible. He's single, and there's been a toying of a relationship with Kirsty, yeah. And even more of one with Lily.
And he's living in a B&B.
Yes, yeah. It all adds up.
This, you know, he's not popping back on the weekend to go to his you know, his old flat or something. He is in the B&B full time. So
he's like it's quite Alan Partridgean, isn't it? His existence. That he can be found walking up the B road singing Goldfinger every now and again.
But I don't blame him staying in that B&B. You get labelled lunchboxes and parcels taken in and everything.
David was absolutely stunned by the a packed lunch.
I thought he was going to move in.
Was David incredibly annoying this week or really good value for money? I couldn't tell.
I think he was a bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Linda was it's not too early to talk about her, is it? I mean, she started to pick apart this idea of it was quite clear when him and Ruth were having that conversation on Monday about where they could get some help from. And then they were like, yeah, Linda owes us because we put the production on in the barn. But when she started to ask about the toilet situation, I was like, oh God, because Jill's back there now. There's no ensuite room. Can you imagine? Like, they're going to use the downstairs toilet and use the upstairs, all three of them, by the way, Ben, Ruth and David. So they don't use the upstairs toilet that much.
Oh, I know. I mean, which idiots are going to stay in this place?
Can you imagine going to the bathroom after David's dropped one of his Brookfield bombs in there?
Or a nest. Ben, Ines has blocked the U-bend with a four-day poo, so you will need to get the plumbers in.
I'm quite disappointed with this Ines, because it wasn't an Ines, was it? I thought it was the Spanish or Portuguese name, Ines, but I looked on the website and it's Ines, I-N-N-I-S.
It's not the Scottish man's name.
Yeah, but we got the gag though, didn't we, everyone?
Yeah, Ines Petragoules.
Yeah, from Inspector Gould, from An Inspector Calls by J.B. Priestley.
So bloody leaden, that wasn't it?
Yeah, you can't even make a gag out of it. I mean, that book is legendary to me because we read it in the third year of secondary school in Lit, and I had the copy. I don't know if you ever remember this. You'd get a treasured, there'd be one copy in the school that someone had graffitied and written humorous annotations. Just to set the tone, the cover had been altered, so it was An Inspector's Balls. It just that kind of went from there, really. So I
you
used
did,
to read.
You did that graffiti, didn't you?
No, I did not. I think I kept the book though. So when it was your turn to read, you had to read, but try to avoid the annotations because they were far funnier than the.
I went to school this week. I applied for a carpentry course.
And, nice one.
Yeah, and so I went, and it was they did the adults and the GCSE kids at the same time. So, and I didn't know. I just applied online. So I turn up, and it's like, and I couldn't see the other adults. So it's just me in a sea of sort of like, you know, badly done dye jobs and too much hair gel. It was really, really disconcerting.
Did you walk in with your backwards baseball cap and your skateboard over your back?
I went full.
What does he say?
Hey, young, whatever. The Matthew.
Hello, fellow. Is it hello, fellow teenagers or something? I can't remember.
I was. Yeah. But the thing was that all these kids had brought their parents with them to their interviews. And I was a bit sort of like, am I wrong to be shocked about that?
Really? No, you're not wrong. Surely that's the point of going to something like that is you're starting to stand on your own 2 feet now, aren't you?
I'd like to think I wouldn't judge someone for bringing a parent, but I...
Did you take your mum and dad?
I wouldn't. I at the same age, the absolutely last person I would want coming to an interview with me would have been anyone related to me.
But your dad was down, wasn't he, last week? You could have taken him along with you.
Oh, that would have been amazing, my dad. It's like little and large now, because my dad's pencil thin and 6'5", and I'm the heaviest I've ever been, about 4 inches shorter. We make quite the pair now.
I was quite glad that, you know, when Roy was late to meet the architect, it was fine because Peter was on site. And I thought,
I didn't like that. I don't know, because Matthew's kind of quite a sort of... So Kerry's a very rare name, right? Like, you don't meet many Kerrys in life. Matthew is a sort of, it's a banker. It's solid, you know, every generation gets a few.
Biblical.
But Peter is very much the preserve of old men. Like, you don't meet any Peters anymore. So I don't like, you know, it always shocks me when I hear a Peter.
Yeah.
Very dull, but true.
How is Grey Gables coming along?
Who the bloody owner is Peter?
Yeah, come on.
I would absolutely love to do like a refit of a hotel. Wouldn't that be fun? And I'd really love to do that as a job.
Yeah.
Do you want to come and do my apartment?
Love to. Yeah. Happily, I got a real taste for it when we did our extension, like, you know, finding sort of clever use of little nooks and crannies. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, then you had to deal with the builders though, didn't you? And that nearly sent you absolutely potty.
Yeah, you're right, better not do it, yeah.
speaking of absolutely potty, we were talking about the Brookfield B&B, weren't we?
Oh, God, yeah.
So, you know, we'll get past the JB Priestley gag. Also, they provide complimentary soups on arrival. I thought that was a bit unusual.
I did tweet that. Yeah, there's soup everywhere in this sodding programme. I think David and Ben were slurping soup, weren't they, in one scene? I'm pretty sure the am is soup. And when you turn taps on, soup comes out in Ambridge.
So you think it's like a kind of savoury Willy Wonka world?
Yeah, it's like that. Everything is f***ing soup. What did you think of Linda's approach? I know, you know, like, she was role-playing. She got really well into it, didn't she? And
Well, I was worried at one point that it might not be great for Ben's mental health for him to be like, hang on, is this Linda or Innes? And then when David came in and he was like, you've let Bess in. I thought David could play his kind of hallucination card and go, no, I haven't.
It was very odd, wasn't it? I thought, good heavens. She always goes over the top, doesn't she? But it's a room in a farmhouse. It's not like the Ritz or a real upmarket B&B. And can you imagine,
shall I try and be generous?
Yeah, go on.
They have given us, with Linda, license to do anything. She's done so many balmy things over the years that you are able to suspend disbelief in a way you wouldn't with other characters. Like, you know, she's so pantomimish and nonsensical. So if it had been Susan, for instance, another, you know, character from this week, you'd be like, oh, this is just complete bullshit. But somehow with Linda, you can kind of relax into it and go, yeah, maybe, you know, she is completely insane.
That's what they ought to do. They ought to have each character from The Archers staying the night in the B&B room. And giving sort of feedback on what's worked well and what hasn't. Like, Jazza would love it.
Jim.
Wouldn't he? Yeah. Lillian.
The ghost,
like
Joe
it,
Grundy, trying to go room to room, losing his ghost ferrets. You think, ghost ferrets being lost by ghost Joe Grundy.
Okay, I think we need to have a word with the BBC. There's a spin-off here.
Rent a Ghost meets the Archers.
Yeah, I mean, there was quite three in a bed, latterly four in a bed, where she was grilling Ben about the breakfast, wasn't she? And he was like, well, this is sourdough that's made by my grandmother, and these eggs were laid by my brother, Josh. His chickens laid them, you know what I mean? It's got this weird image of Angus Imrie sat out in the barn.
That's a USP, that is. Eggs laid by boys.
If I had to eat an egg laid by anyone in that family, it would probably be Josh, not one of the other ones.
No, you wouldn't want a pip egg?
Oh, no, thank you very much. rotten, even if they're fresh. No, thank you very much.
I did think it was awful that she ordered a cab and then cancelled it right at the last minute.
Yeah, that was shitty.
Poor old Rex. That's horrible.
Yeah, I was thinking Rex had to come up from the rewilding, fight off deer, punch a bear, get in his taxi, come over to Brookfield, and it's like, sorry, Rex, you're not needed.
Have you seen the trailer for Cocaine Bear?
I have seen it. I also saw that guy who's very funny that makes videos about movies, very short cuts, where he said, you know, he was comparing it to other movies, and he was like, what do you need to know about Cocaine Bear? Nothing. If you know what cocaine is and you know what a bear is, you need to go and see this movie.
I've got a sneaking suspicion it might be fun.
He said it's better. He reckons his prediction is it'll be better than Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
And he said you won't need anyone, you won't need a video explaining the ending of Cocaine Bear. You just go see it, and that's it.
Hey, Gary, do you know the plot?
I don't know, but that was my nickname when I lived in Wakefield.
I don't doubt it. Yeah. Were you a kingpin in Wakefield, Kerry? Were you did you run Wakefield?
Well, you know, big fish in a small pond sort of thing.
Yeah. It's basically, Kerry, a huge amount of cocaine gets dropped in a forest by a drug cartel and a bear eats it all. Sniffs it all. That's it. That's the
Excellent.
Movie.
Excellent. Who's behind this? Is it someone good?
I think weirdly, it's it's a blonde actress. You'll definitely know her, but I think she might be the producer or something. Anyway, that's not very helpful. But yeah, anyway, Cocaine Bear. But it's only like to Matthew's point. It's only marginally less or more plausible than, you know, the whole Linda nonsense.
Speaking of films,
oh, it's Elizabeth Banks is the director.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's impressive.
Oh, I didn't realise she directed it.
Yeah.
But speaking of films, Helen and Lee, they were going to watch films, weren't they? And they were getting all excited about it. I was thinking, how he would choose This Is England and she'd choose Team America, wouldn't she?
Yeah, I mean, I think I put a tweet out this week saying, like, she's really pushing San Francisco every time Lee's gone to the toilet. And someone was like, yeah, she's got a flip chart out, everything. And there's that point where Tony said to her at one point, what's with the look? And I thought she was going to be like, what, my Visit San Francisco t-shirt?
Yeah. Well, what, this? She's like twirling a bat on and has like stripes, like hot pants on.
So I did have a moment of clarity listening to that where I realised something about myself and maybe you two as well, that what Helen was doing, she was actually behaving quite reasonably, and yet my hatred for her was so, so overwhelming all the way through that. I just couldn't stop loathing her. And is it now just kind of like, is it just you hate her because she's Helen? Does all logic just get abandoned?
I think you've got something there, because if you put the words she said down on a page, which I presume she had one off in front of her, then if anyone was to do that...
he was ad-libbing, Kerry,
which
I'm sure.
Might have done. Yeah, which someone might have done. But the words on the page seem quite reasonable, don't they? But when she says them with that tone of... she's very difficult to explain to some. If you had to explain Helen to someone who's never heard her,
When other people talk about her, that would be normal if they talked about another person. But it's Helen, and you just think, have you met? Like Tony said to her, "This could, you know, you don't want to do this if it's going to cost you your happiness." I thought Helen was going to go like, "My what?
Yes.
What's that?" You know, the best thing about Bridge Farms, you can always pivot, though, don't you? Because Tony was just trying to moan, Helen, she tried to talk about the bean sprouts or something, didn't she? And he was like, come on, let's talk about
don't
it.
But then,
at the end, she was like, yeah, anyway, Dad, have you sorted it with your sister about how you hid your other sister's fatal illness, which killed her while they were on holiday? And it was like, okay, that's your ace card, isn't it?
But I do think Lee is really flip-flopping wildly.
Mm.
Well, that's the episode I missed, because I was suddenly like, hang on, how did this all sort itself out? And it was only today. I was like, oh, this all happened. Okay.
Yeah, but even having heard the one that you missed, when you
it was very quick, yeah.
It's really like, oh, yep, okay, yeah, I've got it now. They can go to the other side of the world. I'll keep in. There are loads of ways of keeping in touch with them. They can listen to me on the radio quite a few times a week if they want to. I just thought this is very odd considering his initial response to the whole thing. And having had them in his home for a week and saying, oh, you know, round the table, we really felt like a family. And then he's like, oh, bye. He's just happy to wave them off. I find it very odd indeed. I don't think any parent would actually be like that if their kids were moving to America.
No.
No, you'd be absolutely devastated, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yeah, you would. And I know that they are of an age where, was it Helen who said they know you love them, or Tony said it, one of the two, said they're of an age where they know you love them, so it'll be fine, just let them go. You just wouldn't do that, I don't think.
Well, they say it seemed to me quite well adjusted, very polite girls, because they're pretending to enjoy planting broad beans in the poly tunnels when they clearly they're just like, get me the fuck out of this place.
Get me back to that tablet.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's going to show us his trains in a minute, Evie. God's sake. And I liked it when Lee said to Tony in their heart to heart, he was like, maybe I'm not good at judging this kind of thing. And I thought Tony was going to go, what, the pancake competition? That's me and Pat doing that, Lee.
Do you prefer American or English pancakes, lads?
Oh, English pancakes, the crepe. I was all about the crepe on Tuesday.
It's funny, like saying English pancakes, the crepe, which is
French. Well, it is a crepe, isn't it?
I know.
I don't think they're the same. I don't think they're comparable. They do such a different job. I don't. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like saying, do you, you know, like a baguette or a sliced loaf?
Yeah, they are. They're incredibly different. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the same in name only, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, which fuckwits would have a competition comparing the two?
Well, I mean, Pat was just disappointed that there wasn't pancake soup.
Yeah. Someone on Twitter did say, actually, I've had soup with pancakes in.
Oh, God.
Did you see that reply? I think it was some Eastern European type thing with, like, you know, slivers of pancake instead of noodles. So it kind of made sense.
Okay, because I can understand. They have like the dumplings kind of stuff, don't they, that they slice up and put in the soup. So
there is the, what's it called? I know what it is in English. It's like little sparrows in German. And it's like a kind of a pasta where you get it by like raining dough into the, or just like, anyway.
Are you talking about pierogi?
Maybe, but it's like little, Polish. So it's like... But there's like a liquidy batter that goes into the water.
Yeah, I've got a pierogi pan here to make it. I absolutely love it. And then they kind of serve it up with cream cheese and like lard on, served on top.
Huh? Yeah.
Hey, speaking of food, I didn't know Jenny invented Nutella. And I don't know why she didn't use that money to buy a bigger house and kitchen.
Yeah, she created chocolate and hazelnut pate.
Yeah.
Bloody brilliant.
Yeah.
Harry, how many frozen beef Wellingtons do you have in your freezer just in case of emergencies?
Not enough.
Not enough. It does seem like a good idea, doesn't it? Of all of the harebrained ideas this week, that seemed the least, most brained and least hairy.
I've never made a beef Wellington. I don't know even if I've never actually eaten one. I've watched many being made on MasterChef and things like that.
Is it impudent to sort of set that for you as a piece of homework by next week or the week after?
Oh, God. Do you know, I never buy joints of beef to cook.
I mean, to consume one.
Oh, I can. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not
a complete dick. Yeah. Are you willing to eat some beef Wellington for the podcast?
I'm willing to. Yes, definitely. Yeah. But I think they're going to be quite hard to make those, aren't they? Really? And get them right. And the beef to be sort of nice and pink in the middle and. Yeah.
An ex of mine, I made one and we were in the butcher's. This is like when I was quite young. And you know when you do something, even when you know it's a stupid idea, just because you're under kind of enormous pressure? She was outraged by the price of the beef that I was going to buy. So I got bullied into buying a cheaper cut and the butcher was kind of going, what are you using this for? And I was like, beef Wellington. He's like, it's not really going to work. And I was like, oh.
No, it has to be the fillet, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I took this kind of what turned out to be pretty much stewing beef home and made a full beef Wellington with it. And everything except for the beef was amazing. It was really tasty.
What makes a really good Wellington is lamb. If you get the fillet of lamb, it's this gorgeous.
God, amazing. When you next come to the UK, Matthew, will you make one?
Yeah, I think, well, we're going to have a South Coast meetup, aren't we? I think.
Yes,
we're going to
Harry and I are quite close now.
Yeah. So let's just do it like that.
The halfway house for me and Kerry is Dungeness. I was there on the weekend.
Kerry, do you have an en-suite?
No.
Okay.
All right. Bucket by the bed. I once stayed in a B&B above a pub in Wakefield, and there were buckets next to each bed for throwing up purposes. That was nice.
Oh, so it's one of Wakefield's more finest.
Yeah, the Elephant and Castle, yeah. That was.
Did they have non-alcoholic beer?
No.
There were none in the freezer. I took them out.
Oh, well done.
So we've got our list of topics, right? And we've still got at least two to go. Can we please set a new pod's land speed record for the Tony and Lind?
Oh, God, yeah. I felt we'd almost pretty much done it.
No, we've got Susan and Alice, which I'm looking forward to talking about. But can we just get Tony and Lillian out of the way so it's not hanging over me?
Yeah, go on.
I'm happy now. I've said my bit. But just, I'm going to be done with it. It was so irritating. I didn't even listen to the week before. I just listened to you guys, as I said. But I've had enough. If that conversation had happened a 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, I think I could have been potentially a little bit moved by it. But I was just like, oh God, you two sad sacks, just shut the f*** up.
What were they doing with slides and stuff? What? And he was getting a curtain and a ladder and...
Well, she found an old, because he fixed the clock. You remember there was the whole thing with Leonard and Lillian, and this was obviously before Jenny died. And
and she sort of went, oh, that clock looks slightly different and more shiny. Yeah.
Yeah. He got the clock working. And then she said, I found the projector up in the attic. And this probably got child slides of us as children and probably some of Jenny. And she went off to talk to Peggy. And when she came back, he already had the projector up and running. So that was that whole scene was about, and it was just them slowing
the ladder. I didn't understand ladder and boxes being squashed
to go up and get a curtain sheet for them to project the images onto, because he didn't want her using the dust sheet because that was covering his trains. I like that bit where she went, oh look, there's us on the seafront, there's one of you with your two front teeth missing. I thought he was going, that was last year when Pat decked me, Lillian.
Oh, God. Right. Okay, yes.
He was always off on his own on these holidays, wasn't it? Like, he's like, you two went off and you were the two girls. I had to make friends with a jellyfish.
I feel like I'm reliving it now. This is quite painful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one reoccurring theme of all of this is that he said to Lillian that Jenny always knew how to snap you out when you were in a bad mood. And they said the same with Brian, didn't they? And Brian even said himself, he said, like, what would Jenny think if she was looking at me? And Alice said to Susan, Mum would have snapped him out of it. You know, Mum would have snapped him out of not arranging her funeral. I was like, well, would she, Alice? I don't think so.
The way she would snap people out of these moods was by sort of going, da-da, with a beef Wellington.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's my bit on those two, apart from the fact I laughed when she said, I love you, Tony.
She went really high-pitched, didn't she? I love you.
I thought she was breaking into Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. I love you, Tony.
Da, 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 da. I did think it's a bit of a stretch, isn't it, having a slideshow on a radio docudrama.
Yeah.
Being described to us.
Radio Gold.
Yeah, so that's them done.
Yes. So Susan, lovely, lovely, wonderful Susan. I thought, you know, she can be a right old pain in the ass, but I could not have liked her more, I don't think, this week. She was very gentle and caring and thoughtful And also, you know, given the chance to screw things up twice, and she still managed to set, you know, be pitch perfect both times.
Yeah, it was very nice when she gave the recipe book to Alice and said, look, you can keep this one and you can write your own recipes in it and, you know, hand it down to Martha. And it had butterflies all over it for some reason. Yeah, that was really touching. And I think considering how at odds with each other those two were not that long ago, that was a bit of a redemption arc, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah. And I think they've done it a few times now where they've kind of reinforced the fact that Alice's sobriety is for keeps, or at least until they really need it, you know, a big plot.
Hey, hello.
Yeah, we can hear your pack of dogs.
Wolves.
Math. You're still earning a bit of money on the side making pit bulls fight in that pit in the sitting room.
Did you hear what I said about the illustrations in the book?
No.
Okay, the illustrations were done by Poppy and Kira. That's what Susan told Alice.
Yeah.
I really hope the ingredients for Martha faced cookies that Susan was making for the christening are in there. When Jenny was kind of very polite, be like, so we'll be eating her face, will we? And then they started trying to ice gun the nose, and it kind of turned into a pig, and they just both started pissing themselves laughing.
That was good. Yeah.
How long? I'm sure she's on ice, but how long can you have how long before you have to bury someone? Is it or deal with?
Are we going to do that podcast?
Interesting question, isn't it? Yeah.
It can go on like months, can it? I think.
Can it? I just don't know. I mean,
really shocks people on the continent and in South America that happens.
Is it the embalming fluid doing all the work here, or are they in fridges?
I don't know. I was a bit worried. Talking of fridges, I was a bit worried about Lillian because Joy's been delivering food parcels to Brian. And when Brian phoned Alice during his dinner party, he said, has Lillian thawed yet? I was like, Jesus, what have they done with her? I know she's a pain in the ass, but God.
It was funny hearing, like, Brian had no idea about the oven and how to use it. Alice had to leave instructions. And then he said, oh, I expect to Kirsty, I expect you think I'm very old-fashioned, that, you know, I literally did nothing. And it was a novelty to him that Roy and Kirsty share the cooking. I mean, I knew he was that way, but I would have thought he'd have switched the frigging oven on at some point. But apparently not.
Yeah.
I thought of Matthew last week because I was doing veggie meals plus my son's meals plus, and I was kind of like, you know, going one meal to the next. And I thought, I'm on in the foothills of the Himalayas that is Matthew's kitchen skills. But I did think even Matthew would probably be a bit impressed by this multi-pan, multi-meal action.
No, I am very impressed. I'm looking forward to getting an induction hob in the new place. So. Oh. Fingers crossed.
Hey, did you notice that Lee was booking a taster session at the stables for the girls?
No. What is that? They're going to eat like
horses.
Yeah. Well, apparently Shula's never forgiven Rolly. He's like a big ham on in a Spanish supermarket now these days.
This is what Brexit shortages are doing to us. You pop, you know, pop down to stables and take one of the sadder old horses.
Have a Rolly Wellington. I'd eat it.
Okay,
I would eat it. Actually, have you had horse? Not the drug.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I had it in Dublin, and I know for a I know that my aunt who listens to this podcast has had donkey ragu in.
I think I would literally eat any animal. I don't understand the hierarchy or anything like that. I would
you need to do 23andMe, Kerry. See if you. I used to study Chinese, and my Chinese teacher said, "Was it that the Chinese eat anything with four legs except a table, anything that flies except a plane?" So you want to see if you got a bit of Chinese knocking around.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Well, should we see which restaurant pops up in our ads now?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If people want to get in touch, how would they do that?
Well, I've heard Twitter's quite good. Kerry's normally in charge of Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's great. Yeah. We're at the Cider Shed Pod. We're doing so well there. Loads and loads of followers. It's a right laugh. I know people are having issues generally with the concept of Elon Musk and Twitter, but, you know, it's still a great place despite him. Come there, tweet along, hashtag the Archers. And you'll find lots of daftness.
Well, his new girlfriend, Alicia, Lee's ex, has moved out to marry him. So he'll chill now, I think.
Oh, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? Also, I liked how Helen wouldn't consider moving there herself because of the boys' schooling, but it's fine for the girls to do that. Anyway.
Well, I thought it was setting up a lovely Rob kidnap storyline if they're on the same main body of land, because there was some talk this week on Twitter about someone asked me, Pollyanna, is it, asked where did he go?
Did he end up in America?
And I said it was Minnesota, and Chris said because that's the dairy cheese state, and then someone asked what's the soup state, to which I said it's Minnestrota. It deserves just that. Right, Instagram, we cracked 700 followers this week. We're now on 706.
Amazing, though.
Yeah, it's going great guns over there. Come and see all the silly videos and music that I post and the reviews. Write a review for us on Apple Podcasts, and you'll find it up on our Instagram at some point. The Facebook group, which is the Cider Shed Podcast, that got a little bump this week because the official Archers Facebook has decided to stop posting anything. And so I just shamelessly got in the comments of that post where they announced it and said everyone could come over to us, which they have. A couple have. I think there's a lot of Archers Facebook out there, and I think some of it's quite vitriolic and ours isn't. So if you want to come over, come to the Cider Shed Podcast, open Facebook group. We're lovely.
Also, by reputation, a lot of the other Facebook groups can be a little bit, how can we put it, po-faced about.
Well, that's what I said. Point. Yeah. They can be a bit like that. And we're not. We don't stand for it.
Yeah, that lovely mix of po-faced and vitriolic. Yeah.
Or as it's known in Facebook.
So, guys, I know that pretty much from the start of the podcast, all anyone is thinking or to themselves is, when will they talk about the fantasy football?
It's going to be very quick this week because we didn't even have it in last week. So
really?
This week, because of a technical issue.
I got as far as the bit where you bullied me for the second time and then I tapped out after that.
No, we had someone kind of mentioned on our Facebook group of all places about the football bit at the end, so we promised to keep it brief. But I'm just going to say, as a tribute to that person, the sponsor for our fantasy football announcement this week is Heather Devine, who posted after last week's "Hooray, no fantasy football this week," which I have yet to approve that post, Heather, but I'm giving you a shout out. The usurpers have left the group. The people that jumped in and were scoring loads, but, well, 4-4 Poo is still there, but the mystery woman. No, they're still there. They're in second and third. All right. So just so you know, Terry Wigan is number one. 4-4 Porn, 4-4 Poo is number two. Kerry, where are you? You are in 11th. I'm in 17th. And Peter is in 24th. I'll post a screenshot of all of that to our Facebook group for people that want to see it.
Nice one. Yeah.
And in case we forget to say it, thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon, patreon.com/thesideshed. We are, as always, incredibly grateful. It might be repetitive to keep on saying it, but that's only a measure of how genuinely appreciative we are. It makes a huge difference because it, as we always say, it's fun, but it is a big old effort, and thank you.
Yeah, on a week like this week, when I was listening again the second time, I was like, my God, what am I doing with my life?
With my life? Jinx.
Every now and again, like, Charlotte will say to someone, "Oh, Peter does a podcast." They'll be like, "Oh, really?" And they'll look all excited, and then they're like, "What's it about?" And I'm like, "Oh no, I don't want to tell you." And they're like, "What's it about?" I'm like, "Oh, it's about the Archers." And they're, no one has yet managed to fake interest. They're just like, "What?" So yeah, it's niche, isn't it?
It is very neat. That's one word for it. Yeah. So, what are we doing with our lives? What's going on this weekend for you two?
My wee boy's best friend is visiting from London, so that is, of course, a source of enormous excitement.
Lovely.
I'm probably sorting out and packing things in my old apartment, which I am still in, and hopefully finishing season two of The White Lotus.
Ah, I haven't started that yet. Need to do that soon. Love the first season. I'm going to London tomorrow to the Museum of Brands to an exhibition of shopping lists.
Oh, yeah. I remember you mentioned this. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
With Jeremy.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Fellow Archers fan.
Are you allowed to take photos of the shopping lists?
I will take photos of the shopping lists.
If there's one that just says "get milk," please take a photo of that for me.
Okay. No, I like this sort of thing and I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, it'll feel very aged now because it'll probably have things like tomatoes, cucumbers and peppers on it, won't it?
Yeah.
Or as they call it, the good old days.
Well, so everyone have a great week. Enjoy your turnip salads. We'll all see you all next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
See you, everyone. Bye.
Hang on.